All right, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. If you have YouVersion app, you can pull that out on your tablet or phone or whatever your device you have, and you can open up YouVersion, and there's a lot of notes there. There are going to be more notes on YouVersion than you'll see on the screen today. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 23. I read this last week. I'm going to read it again. We're in a series called The Blood. And today I'm going to give you part one of a two-part message called Perfect Blood. Okay, so today would be part one of the two-part message. I'll finish it up next week, Perfect Blood. Deuteronomy 12, 23 says, "But never consume the blood, for the blood is the life, and you must not consume the lifeblood with the meat." Okay, then go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 54 through 56. Turn there real quick. Another scripture that I read last week, and Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." That word life is the Greek word zoe. He said, "And I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." Okay, zoe, that word, eternal life, zoe. It's the Greek word, and it means, it's a special meaning. It means to speak of the life that is given through God, by God, through Christ Jesus. The life that is given by God through Christ Jesus to those of us who believe the gospel. That's what that means. It means your real life, your present and your future life. It means an active and vigorous life devoted to God, a blessed life. And now that's a long definition, but that's what that Greek word means. It's a lot in that one little word, zoe. In John chapter 15, if you turn over there to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, Jesus said this. He said, "I am the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more." I'm going to stop right there for a second and say this to us. There's a lot in two scriptures right there. He cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit, and he prunes every branch that does produce fruit so that it produces even more. Now think about that. Sometimes we get confused between being cut off and being pruned. Sometimes the Lord is pruning us, and sometimes it hurts to be pruned. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He's pruning us. He's pruning us so that it will produce more fruit. It's not that we're not in his will. It's not that we're not doing what he desires for us to do. He wants us to do even more of his will and even more that he desires us to do. So he'll prune us, which sometimes can hurt. And if you shrink back from the pruning, you will not continue to produce the fruit that you have been producing, let alone even more fruit that God wants you to produce. Now, that's a mini sermon in a sermon. But look at verse 3. It says, "You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you." Here it is. Listen to this. Verse 4. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." Wow. Come on, can you just say wow? That's a powerful scripture. Did you just hear what Jesus said? He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. There's no time limit on this promise from God. Do you understand that? There's no date stamp on this promise from God. God didn't say, for a limited time, call now. He didn't say that. God was saying that this is from this point forever. From what the promise I'm giving you forever. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Now there is a caveat here, and I don't want to say it's a catch, but here's the deal. Because when you read this, some of us, I love what Sydney said when she came up here, that word from the Lord. Thank you, Sydney, for that. And Maxwell and Justin, all of those words from the Lord were really good. But when Sydney said, sometimes we just go to prayer and we ask God just for what we want. Our wants, our needs, what's right in front of us, right? What we're dealing with right now, what will please the flesh. Jesus, just fix this for me. Just get me out of this mess that I got myself into. You know what I mean? Just fix this. And God, that's the thing. Jesus is saying, if you'll just remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask for anything you want. Guess what? If we're in him and he is in us, what we ask for is going to be all about what he wants. Not about what we want, but about what he wants. The problem is we don't remain in him, and his words aren't remaining in us, and so we go to ask for him for things in prayer, and it's selfish motives. It's about the things that we want, and God is not going to grant the things that you want in your flesh just to satisfy your flesh, because it will destroy you. He's a good father. He wants to take care of you. He wants to take care of me. So he wants us to remain in him. So this is the promise of Jesus. So let me give you a few things before I jump into the 2 points I want to make today. Physician, there's a physician, his name's Horace Smith. He was a physician and also a pastor on the south side of Chicago. And he describes how amazing human blood is this way. He said, each drop of human blood contains over 5 million red cells. In an average lifetime, a person's red cells arranged in a single file would reach from the earth to the sun and back 5 times. Our bodies contain approximately 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Through this delivery system, blood provides everything our cells need to live, and they take away the waste and the poison that would poison us. At a cellular level, capillaries are so small that they are about the size of a single red blood cell. To connect with all the cells in the body, capillary walls cover an area of approximately 70,000 square feet. The circulatory system is the epitome of consistency. Every day, the heart beats 100,000 times. And over an average lifespan, this amazing machine will beat 2.5 billion times. It pumps 60 million gallons of blood through our system in a lifetime. During this time, the heart never takes time off. Aren't you glad for that? Say thank you, Jesus. It never takes time off. We can't afford for it to take a break. If it took a break even for a few minutes without blood supply causes severe brain damage or even death. Virtually all other cells in the human body are stationary, but blood is a mobile tissue. It carries nutrients to every part of the body, protecting us from harm and healing our wounds. Wow. No wonder the Old Testament says that the life of every creature is in its blood. No wonder. See, today we understand the significance of this truth even more deeply. There are no cells in the human body that can live without continual contact with life-giving blood. How many of you know that? Your natural blood that's in your body right now, I said this last week, there's no cell in the human body that can live without continual contact with the blood. This is powerful. Because there is no person, not one person on the face of the earth and all of creation who can experience true life without constant contact with the life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Same thing. The same thing in the natural with this blood that flows through our veins is the same thing in the spirit realm. We have to have constant contact with the blood of Jesus in order to have life. Colossians 3:3 says this, for you died to this life and your real life. Look at somebody say real life. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Guess what that word real life is in the Greek? Same word, zoe. Your real life, The life God intended you to have is hidden with Christ in God. It's hidden with Christ in God. Are you getting this? It's only through Christ. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you can have the real life that he died to give you. You have to have his blood flowing through your spiritual veins. See, the life God created you to have was something he created from the very beginning. You need to understand this. From early times, the word zoe, that Greek word, was adopted by Hellenized Jews as a translation of Eve. God wanted to restore his plan of intimate relationship with his people. He wanted us to be able to stroll in the garden with him again. He wanted that so badly for us, and there was only one way to do it. Perfect blood would have to be shed. See, the blood in the human body is truly a living entity. If you examine it under a microscope, it's teeming with life. The components of natural blood are amazing. We can also envision that these components of natural blood are a microcosm or a microscopic representation of the body of Christ. The components of natural blood have a different function that contribute to the health of the body. Every type of cell, from the ones that survive only a few moments to the ones that survive for many years, owes its life to the flow of blood. And all three types of these cells in the human body, the red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, plus plasma, perform functions that are essential to life. So I just want to talk about two of them today. First, I want to talk about red blood cells. Red blood cells are known for their bright red color. Red cells are the most abundant cell in blood. They account for about 40 to 45% of its volume. Red cells contain a special protein called hemoglobin. This protein, hemoglobin, carries oxygen from the lungs to the rest of the body and then returns carbon dioxide from the body to the lungs so it can be exhaled. This is an amazing reality which was revealed to Moses thousands of years ago. Did you know that? It was revealed to Moses thousands of years ago, before red blood cells were ever examined under a microscope and their oxygen-binding iron atoms discovered, Moses already knew this truth. In Genesis 2:7, look, he wrote, "Then the Lord God formed the man from dust, from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." He breathed life into his nostrils. We know that Leviticus 17:11, which I read at the beginning, says the life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. Say it again. The life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. What modern science has taught us, the Word of God has been declaring from the very beginning. The breath of life is in the blood. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has enabled us to be ministers of this, his new covenant. This is the covenant, not written of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives, say it, life. The Spirit gives life. Holy Spirit is constantly breathing life in us and through us. Amen? He's constantly breathing life through us. Just as the Father spoke life into us, just as the Father breathed life into us, the blood of Jesus empowers us to speak life to those around us. But if you are not allowing the life-giving blood of Jesus to flow through your spiritual veins, then how can you speak life that you are not receiving? How can you speak the things that you're not listening to? How can you give life that you are not allowing to flow through your spiritual veins? John 20:21-22 says this. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Now watch. Then he did what? Breathed on them and said, "Receive Holy Spirit." Jesus was meeting with his disciples after the resurrection. And this is the time that he walked through the walls, and he was meeting there with the disciples after the resurrection, and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed on them. And said, "Receive Holy Spirit." The same way that he breathed life into his creation that he created in the beginning, again, after the resurrection, he was restoring that same life by doing the exact same thing and breathing life back into his creation. This is a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, over and over again, he came to redeem what he created at the beginning. He came to restore perfect life in us. We can have perfect life in Jesus because his perfect blood is flowing through our veins. But we have to receive it. We've been called to speak this life to every person, every situation that we come in contact with, but we have to receive the words that Abba breathes upon us. We have to hear his voice and repeat what he is saying. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, "When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths." Man, this is good. We're not coming to you with human wisdom. We're not trying to give you words of advice that we got from our father and got from our grandfather and his father and so on and so forth. We're not using words that come from worldly wisdom or human wisdom or those old cliches. Listen, a person that is in trouble and needing Jesus doesn't need you to give them a cliche or something you heard, some worldly wisdom. They need the life-giving blood of Jesus to flow in you and through you out to them. They need to hear the words of Jesus. They don't need to hear your words. They don't need some catchphrase. They need Jesus to breathe on them. That's the only thing that brought you to life, and it's the only thing that will bring them to life. But you have to let him flow through you. You can't cut the blood supply off. I'm just going to stop for a minute. I feel Holy Spirit sidetrack here for a moment. And I'll try not to take too long because I got to get to white blood cells today, or this will be a four-part message. But I really feel the Holy Spirit leading me to say this to you and to me. If you're cutting off the supply of blood to one part of your being, then that part is going to die. Like if you're not wanting to allow Holy Spirit to deal with something that's in your heart, and you all know what I'm talking about. We've all done it. Holy Spirit just keeps trying to deal with that. He keeps trying to bring blood flow to that part of the body, and you just don't want it to happen because it's uncomfortable and you don't want to deal with it, and it's been there for a long time, and maybe it's not uncomfortable. Maybe it's very comfortable to you. You got too comfortable with it, and you're not allowing Holy Spirit to do it. You're not allowing the blood of Jesus to reach there and take that away because you just don't want it to happen. Well, I'm telling you, if you leave it cut, the blood supply cut off long enough, that part will die. There might be a dream that God's given you, and the only way you're going to achieve that dream is if you let the blood flow through all of you. But you keep that cut off, and maybe that dream dies along with that part of the body. Would you just let Jesus have it all? That's what we have to do. We have to let Jesus have it all. It's only his blood that can restore us. Only his blood can bring us back into right relationship. Only his blood can fix all of those things. Only his blood flowing through us can help us achieve the dreams that he placed inside of us. The blood of Jesus brings us pure oxygen straight from heaven. It's the Father breathing into us, breathing upon us. So if you're tapped into the blood of Jesus, life-giving words will come into you and go out of you everywhere you go. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain." Proverbs 15:4 says, "Gentle words are a tree of life." Look at somebody and say this. Look at somebody right now next to you and say, "The words of your mouth tell the story of your heart." So what's the story of your heart? What's coming out of your mouth? The words that you speak tell what's truly inside of you. Is it the words of Jesus? Are those the words of Jesus coming out of you, or is it something else? John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, Jesus said this. He said, I don't speak on my own authority. Now, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. It's his blood we're talking about. But listen to what he says. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal what? Life. Same word. Zoe. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Oh man, this is powerful. Jesus himself is saying, I don't speak on my own words. I don't speak on my own accord. I only speak what the Father tells me to say. Everywhere I go, I'm only going to speak what the Father tells me to say. The words that come out of my mouth are coming straight from the Father through me to you. When he was standing in the temple courts and he was speaking to those around and the Pharisees and all around, and as you read in Matthew 23, and he's speaking those words, those weren't his own words. We could read that and go, well, he was really upset with the Pharisees that day. Man, he was really ripping them apart that day. No, Jesus just told us the words that come out of his mouth come straight from the Father. So that was Father God speaking through him right to them. But too often we'll go places and we'll do things and we'll meet people and we just feel like we gotta say something or do something, or we'll get riled up and we'll just let the words come out of us that aren't coming from the throne of heaven. They're just coming from us because we just feel like we need to say something. And I'm telling you, those words are dead. They will not bring life to that person you're speaking to. There's only one thing that will bring life to them, and that's the life-giving blood of Jesus Christ that flows through you into them. Oh, believe me, plenty of times I've given my own words. And you have too. And they just fall flat, don't they? Just fall flat on their face. I mean, it's just, it's useless. And we may feel good for a moment, walk away, go, oh man, I gave them a word. Or I gave them a word. But they don't need that. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. So is the life-giving breath of the Father flowing through you today? Are you speaking life everywhere you go? That's point number one. Number two is white blood cells. White blood cells protect the body from infection. They are much fewer in number than red blood cells. They account for about 1% of the blood. So red blood cells, 40 to 45%. White blood cells, 1%. White blood cells help to provide defense to the body by digesting microorganisms and cellular debris. They also provide immunity to disease by producing antibodies. Where red blood cells bring life, white blood cells protect the life, that life, by attacking invaders. That's good. I'm going to show you in the Word of God, but come, just let that soak in for a moment. The red blood cells that are in the blood of Jesus breathe life, but the white blood cells protect that life. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I'm going to get to this next week because I'm going to talk about platelets, but this is kind of part of it. The enemy is looking to devour us in many different ways. His goal, honestly, he could care less about the flesh. That's not his goal. He could care, now he'll destroy the flesh, because in trying to destroy our flesh, he can get to our hearts and our minds and get to our soul, right? It's just an avenue to get to our soul is to go through the flesh, but he really doesn't care about the flesh. He knows better than we know that this came from dust and this will return to dust. But what he's trying to get to is your soul. And so if he can get you to be so attached to your flesh that every little thing that happens to your flesh distracts you and distracts your soul. Are you following me here? See, that's his goal. But if you have the blood of Jesus flowing through you, then those white blood cells that are in his spiritual blood protect you. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm." See, the blood of Jesus makes us healthy and strong. The blood of Jesus makes us healthy and strong so that we are able to resist the attacks of the enemy and dispose of him. The blood of Jesus Christ and his mighty name are, listen, this is Smith Wigglesworth quote, put that up. The blood of Jesus Christ and his mighty name are an antidote to all the subtle seeds of unbelief that Satan would sow in your minds. The blood of Jesus Christ and his mighty name, the white blood cells in the blood of Jesus are an antidote to all the subtle seeds. The enemy wants to sow seeds of doubt and fear and torment in our minds, but if the blood of Jesus is flowing through us, the white blood cells do their job. See, the blood of Jesus not only took every sin away and brought us back into right relationship with Jesus, but the blood of Jesus has also empowered us to stand up against the attacks of the enemy. But we must have confidence in the blood of Jesus. Here's the thing about white blood cells. They don't just sit around and wait for an infection to get severe and out of control and then say, oh, we better get busy. No, white blood cells, they go out actively seeking garbage that has potential to cause harm and they devour it. See, we in our flesh, we don't know that we got a problem until the problem's out of control. Hello? Happened to you? And then when the problem gets out of control, we in our flesh are like, oh, I better do something about this. And then the first thing we do is we go out and try to treat the symptoms. We try to deal with the symptoms. Oh, I got a drinking problem, I'm going to try to stop drinking. Oh, I got a drug problem, then I'm going to stay away from that part of town. Oh, I got an anger problem, well, I'm just going to try to bite my tongue. I'm telling you that that's how we work and operate in the flesh, try to deal with the symptoms, but you can't fix it by trying to treat the symptoms. You got to get down deep to the root of the problem where those symptoms came from, and you got to sever it at the root, but only the blood of Jesus can do that. You can't do that in the flesh. It will drive you absolutely insane trying to treat the symptoms. Can anybody testify? Well, the best thing besides receiving Jesus that happened to me is when I discovered this truth about the blood of Jesus. When I discovered that I couldn't just keep treating symptoms and trying to treat symptoms. I did that for so long and tried to deal with, oh, Jesus, just give me the strength and the willpower to get through this. Oh, Jesus, just help me get through this. And I did that for years and I was miserable for years. And then seeds of doubt would come in because I'd go, man, people talk about this Christian life being so good and everything, and Jesus is so good, and I am miserable right now. But I wasn't taught about the blood that way. I didn't understand about the blood. But the physical and the spiritual parallel each other. God created this physical, this flesh, and he created the spirit as well, and they parallel each other. And just like we need the life-giving blood flowing through these physical veins, we need Jesus' blood flowing through our spiritual veins on a daily basis. Yeah. So these white blood cells just go out and attack. And then here's the problem is if we don't let that happen, then things start to happen. And as a pastor, I just got to share with you, and I'm about to close this out, but I got to share with you, it saddens my heart to see so many believers caught up in the lies and the traps of the enemy. It breaks my heart to see so many believers caught up in this. And this past year has not helped. Can I tell you that? 2020 did not help us. With so many believers being separated and isolated from the body of Christ, we are seeing an alarming number of believers either fall away completely or being deceived by the enemy. And yes, we've dealt with it here at the River, but I'm talking internationally. The worldwide body of Christ is dealing with it at an alarming rate. Some of these believers were once very strong, healthy followers of Jesus, and now the littlest things become a stumbling block for them. And honestly, I got to tell you that selfishness is at the center of most of it. So I'm going to share a few things with you today, but I want you to know that I'm speaking for the entire body of Christ internationally, not just the River Church. But I'll say it again and again and again and again. The church does not exist to meet your needs. Jesus, look at somebody, say Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can meet your needs. It's His blood and His blood alone. It's already accomplished all that for you on your behalf. And you keep looking for the church to meet your needs, and the church was never designed to meet your needs. You are the church. So when you leave a church and you say, well, that church just wasn't meeting my needs, what you were saying was you weren't meeting your needs. And I hope people are watching today. Quit saying that. That's the problem. I mean, if you're looking for the River Church to be a perfect church and you're not going to stay here unless we're perfect, bye. I can't live up to those expectations because we're going to make mistakes. But if the blood of Jesus is flowing, man, I was talking to Ethan this morning. And we were talking about this kind of, and he said, it's all about joy. Man, it's true. It's all about joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we don't have joy, we don't have anything. But that joy comes by His blood flowing through us, uninhibited. Blood of Jesus flowing through every part of our spirit. And when His blood is free flowing, nothing can stop us. We're unstoppable. So I'll hear things like this. And I'll see things like this. I'll see people who inconsistently, rarely, or never tithe will complain that the church isn't being good stewards of the money. I'll see people who never attend an outreach event will complain the church isn't doing enough for the poor and the needy. See people who never attend a prayer night or intercessory prayer meeting will complain the church is not praying enough. People who think worship is all about them will complain that the songs that are being sung are about the length of worship and why we go on and on in free flow. People who rarely or never reach out to connect with others will complain that the church is not friendly and full of cliques. People who are looking for the pastor and the church to meet their needs instead of Jesus say the pastor is not friendly enough and doesn't pay enough attention to the people. People who rarely or never volunteer complain the church doesn't have enough structure or programs or events. People who desire to put God in an explainable, easily understandable box say that the church has moved past the promises given by Jesus to the church during the Great Commission. I'm telling you, all of that is a lie from the enemy. I could go on and on and on. You wouldn't believe, as a pastor, all the things I've heard. But this is not just here, it's worldwide it happens. The bottom line is, how did our thinking get to that point? I'll say it again, white blood cells don't just sit around and wait for an infection to get severe. They go out seeking, poison and garbage and disease, and they attack it. So I want to show you something in closing. Turn to Mark chapter 16. If you have a Bible, I want you to look at this in your Bible. If you've got it on your phone, I want you to open it up. I want you to highlight this. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. This is Jesus speaking, and it says, "And then he told them," verse 15, "and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to," say it, "everyone," all people, right? "Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages," that's tongues. "They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick," say it with me, "and they will be healed." This is what Jesus commissioned us to do. This is a promise from Jesus. Again, there's no time stamp on this. There's no date stamp. He didn't say from this time, for a limited time only, you'll be able to do this as the church. From the time that Jesus spoke this word, forevermore, the body of Jesus Christ with his blood flowing through them will be able to do all these things that he promised we could do. Here's the thing about this part. We really readily, the church internationally readily accepts the first part of this. Look at verse 15. "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, and everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved." We readily accept that. I don't know many churches that don't accept that. Christian churches. We all accept that. But I'm going to show you something that's really powerful about the scripture that the Lord showed me just this week. As I was studying, preparing this, the Lord showed me something and broke it down for me in a way I've never seen it before, and maybe you'll see it too. That first part, verse 15 and 16, we believe those verses. We really apply them. But you know, he showed me, he said, that first part is the red blood cells. He said, that's the red blood cells. They bring life. Red blood cells breathe life. That's what salvation is, breathing life. That's Zoe, right? So the church accepts that. But he said, look at the next part. He said, look at the verse 17 and 18. This is the white blood cells. "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name." White blood cells going out and attacking. "In my name," and they will speak in new languages. "They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them." Now let me just stop and say this. What he's talking about there, snakes and poison, these are a figurative speech. Not a literal speech, it's figurative. He's talking about snakes. The word is serpents there. It actually is talking about demonic spirits. "You'll be able to cast out demons in my name. You'll be able to handle demonic spirits safely. You'll be able to deal with them. You'll recognize them and be able to deal with them." See, when the blood of Jesus is flowing through you, that those white blood cells have you on high alert. Oh, come on, y'all. Are you on high alert? Is your white blood cell count at the level it should be? Is that at a normal level like it should be in your system, in your spiritual system? You're on high alert and you recognize those demonic spirits. How many of you have walked in a room and immediately you recognize the atmosphere in that room? You know it was demonic. That's the white blood cells of Jesus working in you. "And if you drink anything poisonous, it will not harm you." What that's talking about is if you hear any deceit, if any deceit, lies, anything poisonous like that comes at you, it will not harm you. Listen, I got people lying about me all the time. I just do. I'm an easy target. I'm a pastor. And I'm a pastor in a church that we aren't backing down. We're going to preach the truth of God's word. We're going to stand upon the truth of God's word. I believe with all of my heart this next portion, look what Jesus did. This next portion of this, okay, so they'll be able to handle snakes with safety, drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. That's white blood cells. And then, boom, platelets. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Three components of blood, all three of them in this scripture right here. I'll talk about platelets next week, but I'm going to tell you this, we will not back down from this. I believe that Jesus not only died for all of our sins and took them all away, but he also took the stripes for every sickness and disease that would ever attack our bodies. And you can say what you want about me out there. I believe it. And that's how we're going to roll here. So I think this is a beautiful thing. And I want to ask you this question today. Are you allowing the perfect blood of Jesus to flow through you? And if in any way today you feel like, man, I've cut off the blood in this area, or I've not allowed his blood to completely flow in this area, and I really want to let his blood flow through all of me, I want you to stand. I want to pray with you. Yeah, amen. Come on. Come on, let's pray. Let's let his blood flow. Are you speaking life wherever you go? Are the words that come out of your mouth the life-giving blood of Jesus? Are you allowing his white blood cells to fight off infection and attack the enemy? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're standing, I just want you to put your hands out in front of you. We're just going to receive from Holy Spirit today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that it's sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts to the heart of the matter. So I thank you, Jesus, for dealing with those things in our lives that needed to be dealt with. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us as we allow your blood to flow through us. I pray, Father, that we would not rest or lean upon our own strength, but Lord, we would completely, wholeheartedly rest in your strength. Let your joy be our strength. Father, I pray that the life-giving red blood cells would flow through our spirit man. Lord, that we would speak life wherever we go. Not our words, Father, but your words. Everything that you tell us to say, Father, I pray that we would say it. Father, when you don't speak to us or give us something to say, I pray, Father, we would hold back and wait for you to speak. Father, shut our mouths so that we don't mess this thing up. Lord, I pray that your white blood cells would flow through us and go out and attack the garbage and the destruction of the enemy. Father, I pray that everywhere we go, not only would we speak life, but Lord, that we would recognize the demonic forces at work and take authority over them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for working through me. Can you say that? Say, thank you, Father, for working through me. Thank you for your blood. In Jesus' name.